Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Quick polling question for you all. How many of you know of somebody who likes to tell stories? Anyone? All right. How many of you know somebody who tells the same story over and over and over again? You guys can stop jabbing your spouses. Now, how many of you know that same person who tells stories over and over and over again, but they don't realize they're telling the story over and over and over again? So I've got a story for you. And I share that polling question with you just to make sure I'm not the only one who can't remember if I've shared the story with you before or not. And apparently I'm not, so I think we're in good shape. But I'm going to share this story with you anyway, and if I've embellished it in any way, shape, or form, that's okay. That's just how it works. If you haven't heard this story before, by the way, it's a great story. So you might ask what I was like as a child. That's perfect. I did no wrong. I was never grounded, never not. I was actually quite a troublemaker, but within my bounds. I'm an introvert, always have been an introvert, and I'm a rule follower, always have been a rule follower. But doesn't mean I don't break them once in a while. And my parents knew that for me, the greatest punishment was to write sentences. Anyone have to write sentences in school? Oh, yeah, you get them on the board, and you used to have to write them on the chalkboard under the line. I just had to write them on paper. But they knew that was the best punishment for me because to ground me wasn't going to do anything because I'd just go take a nap. So they had to make me do something that I didn't like doing, and writing, oddly enough, was one of them that I didn't really like doing, so they knew that was going to always make it happen. But I was actually a pretty good kid in school, never got detention, was threatened with it, but never got it. But where I was a troublemaker was in church. And maybe that's a good thing. I'm not entirely sure yet. But I want to share with you one of the ways in which I was a troublemaker. And if I start seeing your heads nod, I'll know that I've told this story before. But when I was in Sunday school in about third grade, we had a teacher, Chris Alger. Chris Alger was a wonderful teacher and still a good friend, and I talked to occasionally. And she would lead Sunday school, and with about there were three of us, me, Chris, and Ander, and the three of us were great kids. Really, we're good friends, and we put on this really good image of being great kids. But we were troublemakers also. So we would sit in class, and she would start doing some lesson from Scripture. And I remember one day specifically, the lesson was about the sower, the parable of the sower. The parable says that the sower goes out and sows seed on rocky ground, and it doesn't do anything, right? And it goes out and sows soil on other sows seeds in other kinds of soils, and finally at the end, the soil does wonderful things with the seed, and the seed grows into this wonderful plant with great roots, and that's how our faith ought to be. Everyone know that story? I didn't care. I didn't care about that story. I had a story that I liked myself, and that was, anyone guesses? David and Goliath. Why might I relate to David and Goliath? So, yeah, David, the little scrawny guy, right? So me being all of 6'2" and in the third grade, I decided that's the story we needed to learn. That's the story we needed to learn about, and so I decided that the best way to learn about the story would be to corral everybody in the Sunday school class, me, Chris, and Ander, and sometimes Nick, and we would act out David and Goliath, despite what the lesson might be. And so I would find a chair, and I would stand on the chair, and I'd be mighty Goliath. I didn't quite understand that it wasn't a good thing, but I would be Goliath, and they'd take turns being David, and they'd use their slingshot and hit me in the head with it, and I'd fall to the ground, and we'd do it again. It's a great story. I learned it really well. And so we would do that over and over and over again. It never occurred to me until I was an adult that maybe this wasn't the greatest thing to do. Maybe this didn't make the Sunday school teacher's day. Maybe Chris was irritated every time that I came into the Sunday school class because she realized, okay, we're going to do David and Goliath again today. But I'll tell you what's important. She came every Sunday to be there with us, to teach us David and Goliath, and then to teach us some story she would make sure that story got taught in some way, shape, or form to make sure that we learned something other than just the story of David and Goliath during our Sunday school class. I share this story, one, in a way to apologize if she happens to hear this sermon on the website. Sorry, Chris. We didn't mean to completely disrupt your class, although maybe we did. But the other reason I want to say this is to say thank you. To Chris, to other teachers, Maxine, to Pat, to Reverend Andrus, to Joyce, to all those who took the time to teach me, took the time to sit in class and endure my antics and my smart aleck questions. And one of my favorite things to do was to ask Sunday school teachers, if Jesus was Jewish, does that mean that he didn't believe in himself? They treasured me. And so I say that, as I said, to apologize, but also to say thank you, because there are people in our lives, and I could continue to tell stories of the ways I misbehaved in church and misbehaved in Sunday school, but those people who continue to show up and continue to teach me because they knew that God wanted that to happen, not because I was destined for ministry, but because I was a child of God. And so they kept showing up to teach me. I can tell you stories, countless stories from this church, from my home church, from every church, in which there are children whom you kind of want to go, okay, maybe they won't come this week. Maybe they won't come. But you know, the truth is we're glad they do. We're glad they come each and every week when they send us home having absolutely no energy left because they tire us out. And I'm not just talking about this church, I'm talking about every church, because every kid across the globe is that way, that they sometimes mess up, they sometimes make mistakes, they sometimes say things they shouldn't do, they sometimes act ways they shouldn't, and yet there are people who will still show up and help them learn about Jesus Christ, and that's what the scripture is about. And let me tell you why. The scripture is about this because this Ethiopian eunuch, how many of you know what a eunuch is? Anyone? All right, best way to describe a eunuch, men who sing soprano for their whole lives. They've lost some anatomy that would make them men. We're all on the same page? Okay, so part of doing this was a way to make someone a servant. So this would have been a servant. This would have been somebody who served in the royal palace in Ethiopia and would have had importance, but only as a servant. Would have been told his whole life that he's not important, that he really is less than human, less than man, and quite honestly, to not be a man was to be degraded. And so this act of making him a eunuch was in a way to make him feel as though he's just kind of the scum of the earth. He's lesser than less. And so this Ethiopian eunuch is riding in the chariot, and he's going along, and he's reading the scriptures from Isaiah, the scripture that's so hopeful, that's so promising, that as we read it and say, that's Jesus Christ that's being talked about in there, that promise of a coming Messiah to come, and the Prince of Peace, and all of those wonderful things that's in that scripture. And we see that this Ethiopian, who's been told all along that he just doesn't belong, is reading the scripture, and Philip is sent by God. Thank God. Philip is sent by God, and Philip doesn't really know what he's supposed to be doing. He's not trained, and he's not seminary trained. He's been trying to follow and pray and worship God and understand what he's supposed to do. He's not perfect. He doesn't have it all figured out. He misses some Sundays, and from time to time he swears too, I promise. And he's not the perfect Christian yet. But Philip is sent by God. This imperfect Philip, this Philip who's kind of like the eye bolt, who's maybe got some rust on him, he goes out and he meets this Ethiopian eunuch, who's not named, by the way, and he goes and meets him at the chariot, and he says to him, I see you're reading from the book of Isaiah. Do you understand it? What an important question that is, because we sometimes forget to ask that question. Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what we're talking about? Do you understand what we believe? Do you understand what Jesus did for you? Do you understand who Jesus is? Do you understand what's in the scriptures? Do you understand? Do you understand? Do you understand? And sometimes we become so accustomed to people understanding, or at least we think they do, that we forget to explain once in a while. We forget to bring it down to the basics once in a while and to remind people. And so let me offer this to you, and not in a way that's talking down, but just in a way that's offering that reminder. Do you know that Jesus Christ loves you? It's not a rhetorical question. Do you know that Jesus Christ loves you? Do you know that Jesus Christ forgives you? Do you know that he died for you? and that nothing you do could ever pull you away from God, from the love of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Sometimes we forget to ask, do you understand? And so Philip begins by asking that question, and the Ethiopian eunuch looks back at him and says, how could I? No one has ever taken the time to explain it to me. No one's ever taken the time to help me understand who this Isaiah guy is. No one's ever taken the time to teach me, to raise me up, to teach me in vacation Bible school, to teach me in Sunday school, to teach me in movie with a pastor, to walk with me, to sit beside me in worship. No one's ever taken the time to do that. How could I possibly understand what's in this? And so Philip begins to do that. He begins to meet the eunuch right where he is, and he begins to talk to him and share with him all that he can possibly share with him about Isaiah, about this good news that is being prophesied by this prophet. And he shares with him all this good and wonderful stuff. Remember that the Gospels haven't been written yet, so he can't sit there and say, turn to Matthew 5 and read about all the blesseds. He has to tell him the stories that he knows, that he's been told. And remember, once again, we're talking about Philip, the rusty screw, right? This is Philip who's not perfect, doesn't have it all figured out. He hasn't graduated from 19 seminaries and gotten every degree under the sun to understand the Greek and the Hebrew of Scripture and to understand how it works and all the nuances. He's simply a guy who has fallen in love with Jesus Christ and wants to share that good news. So he's a Sunday school teacher. He's a VBS volunteer. He's a helper. God, he's a pastor who doesn't have it all figured out, and he begins to share this good news with the Ethiopian eunuch. And so they're in the chariot. They're going together. They're riding in this chariot. Philip took the time to ride in this chariot with the eunuch, and they come to a body of water. And the eunuch looks out and he says, Philip, what is to keep me from being baptized right now? What's to keep me from taking all that you've shared with me, all the good news that you've shared with me, the good news, the love, the forgiveness, the grace of Jesus Christ? What is preventing me from going into that body of water and having you say over my head as you pour water on me, as you immerse me, as you soak me, as you drench me in this living water, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What's to stop you from doing that? And I imagine Philip, in all of his nervousness, said, I don't know. I'm not a pastor. I'm not learned. I'm not the best there is. I don't have it all figured out. I still screw up at times myself. But he said, let's go. And so they go down to the water, and he baptizes them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he begins to lead a life. And I love that last line. That's why we didn't keep going to the next verse, is because he goes on and he says that they never see each other again. They never see each other again. They move to separate sides of the country, right? So they're never going to see each other again, but you know that the eunuch remembers Philip. You know that Philip remembers the eunuch. And what does the eunuch do? He goes on, anyone remember? Rejoicing. He goes on rejoicing because somebody took the time to notice him. Somebody took the time to say, you know what, I know everyone's told you that you don't belong, that you're not good enough, that you're not right, that you're misbehaved, all these things. I know that, but I want to take the time to sit with you and share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to sit with you and tell you about how Jesus went up to the people who had to cry out, unclean, unclean, and he touched them and healed them. I want to tell you about the story of blind Bartimaeus and how he went up and gave him sight when no one else would stop to pay attention to this annoying beggar. I want to tell you about how he went to the cross and how he put out his arms and in this act of final love gave his life for you and for me and for all of us. I want to tell you about how on that Sunday morning when it seemed like all hope was lost, how he came back from the dead and rose to be with God the Father Almighty and came back to walk among us as the Holy Spirit. Thank God Philip was sent. Thank God Philip took the time to go to that chariot. Thank God he took the time to sit with that eunuch. Thank God. Thank God. What does any of this have to do with Kickoff Sunday? When we go through baptism, we shared this a couple weeks ago, when we share the waters of baptism with a young child or an older adult or a teen or anyone, we offer this promise as a congregation that we're going to walk with you. We're going to help you. We're going to support you. We're going to love you. We're going to love you when it hurts. We're going to love you when it's easy. We're going to help you when you're not deserving of the help and when you are. We're going to love you relentlessly because we want you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ who goes on to walk in the way that leads to life. I share this with you because we have opportunities in this congregation to nurture not just children, but one another. We do that through Sunday school. We do it through VBS. We do it through adult Bible studies. We do it through opportunities in worship and in fellowship. We have this opportunity when we walk out the doors on Sunday mornings and we go into a world that's hurting and needing to hear good news. I'm not talking about the good news that slaps them over the head with the Bible and says, believe or die. That's not the gospel, friends. The good news is going up to people and saying, I know that you're hurting. I know that you're dealing with something. And friends, those are people in here too. And telling them, will you walk with me to the water? Will you walk with me to the living water so I can share with you what I know? And it's not perfect. It's not complete. But let me share with you the good news of Jesus Christ that I know, that has changed my life, that has brought me out of the chariot into the living waters so I can live fruitfully. Can I share that with you? We do it at youth group, and we have kids come who are never in another church, never in our church, but for that one evening, once every 2 weeks, they get to sit with other youth like themselves who are asking questions, wondering, dealing with questions. Have you ever seen an eighth grader try to figure things out? This is not a knock on eighth graders, but they are dealing with so much in their lives. So much. Not to mention trying to figure out their faith, trying to figure out who they are. And they get this opportunity once every other week to come together and to learn from each other and to share that time with each other. Friends, we have opportunities left and right to jump into chariots. To jump into chariots with people who've been told all along that maybe they're just not enough. Maybe they just don't come enough. They don't listen enough. All those things that were told over and over again, that remember back to that sermon series on good enough, that they've been told that they're simply not. We have a chance to hop into a chariot with them and ride along with them. This last thing I want to share with you so that you have a chance to think about this even more is I want you to begin to think about someone in your life, or maybe someone's, multiple people, someone in your life who has impacted it, who has impacted your life significantly. Someone who took the time to get in the chariot with you. Someone who took the time to tell you about Jesus for the first time. Someone who told you that you are loved, that you are important. Someone who took you by the hand, maybe, and sat with you during worship to explain to you what the hymns mean, what these scriptures are, what traditions are. Think about somebody, maybe, who you've had the chance to impact their lives, who you've gotten to be Philip for. And then just take a moment and give thanks to God that God continues to send the Phillips. You, me, those who've gone before us and those who will come after, that we might all know the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we share in this remembrance of the good news each and every week, as we walk in the joy of your love each and every moment of every day, as we remember those who have touched our lives and give thanks for the opportunities to touch the lives of others, Lord, we simply offer thanks. Call us again and again and again. Amen.